Blog Talk Radio.
Tom Farrell!
And now, Tom Farinella.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Tom Farinella Radio Show. This is the most intriguing broadcast in America. Phone lines are open right now. 347. Whoa. We're having some difficulties here. Not good. Something started to short-circuit my system. Hello, everybody. Tom Farinella here, and welcome. Welcome, indeed. It's so good to have you all aboard. The phone number is... I have to go now. This switchboard's no longer good. So I have to redo the switchboard. Am I even here? Let's see if we can get the switchboard up now. I think we can get the switchboard up, in which case I should be able to tell you how to get to this, get into the program if you want to call. You would never think I did radio before. Maybe I'm just taking it a little bit too nonchalantly. I hope nobody listens to this. Like, no, the switchboard doesn't want to open. Does that mean it's not allowing it to pop up? Stupid thing. I have to log back in, probably. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. We have a system crash. How do we do revenue sharing? You know, it's very interesting. You do your own network, which is very good. Now it won't pop up. There we go. The switchboard is now up. Okay, folks, if you want to give us a call, you can do so by calling 347-326-9037. I should have that number memorized, but even if I did, I couldn't do anything with it because, oh wait, start chat. What's this? What is this? Okay. I don't know what's going on here. All right. We are starting a chat now. And hopefully, I may have to do another hour till 9 o'clock. All right. The chat's open. Okay. The chat is up and running. If you want to chat, you could chat at the Blog Talk Radio web chat. I guess you know how to do it as a listener. I don't know how to do it, but... if you want to chat, you can chat. If you want to call, you can call 347-326-9037, all right? And that's what's happening there. Now the show is a good chunk. We just lost of the show because something went on there. There was some transitioning. It just wasn't well. Let's reopen the show one more time. How does that sound?
And now, here's Tom Farinella.
Oh, you're a smooth talker. You are.
As I introduce her, I want to end with her favorite quote, because I love this quote. It's from Mahatma Gandhi. He ran a gas station down in St. Louis for a couple of years. Mr. Gandhi, you still go to the gas station? A lot of wisdom comes out of that gas station.
And you send a kid to the emergency room for a treatable illness like asthma. They end up taking up a hospital bed. It costs when, if you, they just get, you gave them treatment early, and they got some treatment and a breathalyzer, or an inhalator, not a breathalyzer. I haven't had much sleep in the last 48 hours, so.
Before about Lawrence Dean of South Dakota. Like. Like 13-year-old Ann Riddle from Mayfield, Ohio, who had been saving for 2 years to go to Disney World and decided to use her savings instead to travel to Pennsylvania with her mom and volunteer there as well. To the veterans, to childhood friends, to New Yorkers and Arkansans.
Everybody knows that it makes no sense.
Traveled across the country,
send a kid to the
emergency
room for a treatable illness like asthma. They end up taking up a hospital bed. It costs when if
you,
they just get
you
treatment
and
early.
To all those women
and they got
in their
80s and a breathalyzer or an inhalator, not a breathalyzer. I haven't had much sleep in the last 48 hours, so.
Yeah, well, neither have I. I guess I've stuttered more than on one occasion, right? Hello, everybody. This is Tom Farinella.
What they'll say is, well, it costs too much money. But you know what? It would cost about the same as what we would spend over the course of 10 years. It would cost what it would cost us. Okay. We're going to. It would cost us about the same as it would cost for about. Hold on 1 second. I can't hear myself. But I'm glad you're fired up, though.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. I can't hear myself either. Good excuse. I got to remember that one. I got to keep that one warm in the hopper. That's right, that I cannot hear myself.
And now, Tom Farinella.
Yes, this is my favorite intro, because this one talks about on the boats and on the planes. Yes, they're coming to America. And they're traveling far, that's right. Oh, boy, Neil Diamond. I don't think he understood what type of a... how ironic that song would end up being in the year 2008 or 7 or 6 or 5 or 4 or 3 or 2 or even 1. And it ends up being something that's really and truly extremely ironic. Just the song. I mean, shall we break down that song? No. If you want to give us a call, this is the Tom Farinella Radio Show. We're here for an extended third hour, 347-326-9037. I am destined to get at least one caller. Maybe I will stay on the air for as long as they let me until I get one phone call. So if you want to help me help you by me getting off the air so you don't have to listen to me, call me now, and this way I can end this dismal thing called the Tom Farinella. It's not dismal. It's the best radio you've ever heard. Well, we covered a whole gamut of things, but the crux or the theme of today's show definitely deals with the fact that America has lost something. And these new candidates that we have are so filtered, and they're so used to doing things or trying to do things perfect to the point where they sound perfect, they act perfect, and they don't flub. And because what happens is when they do, it sounds like the Obama sound bites that I've heard, or when they become, when they make a joke that just doesn't come out right because they're really not that funny in general, and they're really not funny people. It sounds horrible, and we've heard that over and over with the Mahatma Gandhi in the grocery store. But it's funny how she, Hillary Clinton, you know, has transformed herself since then, I guess. And you know, the news of the day. What's the news? You know, I'm broadcasting here live from New York. It's 125 degrees. I think it went up a few hundred degrees. The studio is warm. You know, when I pull these headphones off, they're like sticking to my ear. It's very funny. I know it's very probably not a great visual, but sticking to my ear. And come on, there has to be one person, who's listening right now to the Tom Farinella Show, right here at Blog Talk Radio. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call 347-326-9037, and you'll end my marathon. Otherwise, I'm going to be on the air until I get a caller. That is the goal. One caller. That's all I need. All I need is one caller. Caller one. One caller. Anyway, because we're going to book a third hour now, I guess. We're going to extend this. Let's extend this one. I don't know. Do I do that? My portal. I have a portal. I don't know. How many hours do you have to do a day? I don't know if it tells you how many hours you have to do a day, but 4 hours? I don't know. Let's see. We will find out if we can do 120 minutes. Let's see what it says. Featured show. What does that mean, featured show? I don't know. What does that mean? Show, book, or CD. We don't want to click the current segment. Oh, okay, so now we're on till 9. And there is no caller. I know you can give me a call. And the number is 917. I'm sorry, 347. 326-9037. And we want to hear from you right now. Otherwise, I got to stay on the air until, I don't know, midnight? We're just going to keep broadcasting. We're on for another hour and 41 minutes. I love it. So you don't have to watch the evening news. You don't have to watch your primetime shows. You can just sit here and listen to Tom Farinella right here on Blog Talk Radio. And I would love for you, I don't know if I have any listeners, but if I do, give me a call, 347-326-9037. We'll open up the phones to anything. You can talk about anything. You can talk about your hair, if you had a perm today. I just had a haircut. Anything you want to talk about, we can talk about. I have no problem with that. Otherwise, I'm going to have to get back into the reason why I came on the radio, which is to do politics, which I really don't feel like doing. But if that's what will drive the audience, then that's what we need to do. Okay? I have another little special treat here. Where is it? Okay, let me know if any of you ever heard this version of this song. Now we're doing songs, okay? You know, I'm not filling time. I'm just having fun goofing. I can get serious at some point. But how much Obama can you take? You know, what is there to say about John McCain other than, you know, he should be running on the Democratic ticket, right?
I think so. Whoa, what's that? See that? You like that? There you go. This is something, that you never heard before, probably, or you may have, I'm looking at the cheers. It's from YouTube, and I'm looking at it, and I'm looking through the. They're showing still shots of the television show. And, you know, I really did not want to get old when I was a kid. I don't think anybody did, but I just knew that getting old for me was going to be especially difficult, and it's definitely that. It's definitely difficult, without question. And, you know, just listening to the song and just looking at the cheers, you know, the still shots, it really does bring back some fun memories. And me being just 9 o'clock on Thursday in my bed watching the show and, boy. But then, you know, that's a screwy situation because, you know, then, of course, I was in school, and I hated school. Oh, God, I detested school. I mean, school was just something that I couldn't even deal with. It wasn't the worst thing in the world, but Lord knows that if there was anything, I just wanted to be free. You know, I think from day one, I was a libertarian at heart because I just always felt very smothered by school, right? You know, and with that being said, it's ironic that I ended up staying in school for so long. But I guess that's, you know, and what has happened is it's led to burnout. It's led to real burnout, and maybe that's why I'm burned out right here on the air with you. Because it makes a heck of a lot more sense. And there is another person chatting. If you'd like to give us a call, you could do so. Hold on, wait, let's get the switchboard up. Number is 347-326-9037. We'd love to hear from you here at the Tom Farinella Show. And hear what you have to say this evening. So anyway, it just ends up being very ironic that I stayed in school for so long. But, you know, college and law school, it's not as constricting as, you know, high school. I went to a Catholic high school, and I wear a shirt and tie every day. And to this day, in 100-degree weather, people are like, well, Tom, what's going on? Yes, you have your tie up to your neck, and you still have your jacket on. I mean, what's the deal? And the deal is that you were not allowed to take off your coat or your jacket without permission. That was just the way it is. And if you didn't abide by the rule, you were then forced to, I guess you did a demerit. I don't even remember what those stupid demerits were, those stupid slips. They gave you stupid slips and they wrote your name on it. And they wrote your infraction. You know, it's like a pseudo-communist society right from school. Here's your ticket, you know, like the police in school. Before you even leave school, we're going to give you a demerit. Yes, we're going to cite you. And if we could, we charge you taxes for being insubordinate, for not having your tie all the way up to your neck. I mean, you know, that's sort of the way like the government is these days. You know, in New York City, they just blasted the cigarette tax. And Mayor Bloomberg's theory is, well, if it can have one person that quit smoking, then it's accomplished its goal. And you know, everybody says this guy's an independent and even a Republican. And you know what he is? I mean, he's a dictator. I mean, people thought that Rudy Giuliani had a fascist streak. Well, this guy is telling you what you can eat, what you can smoke, legally smoke, that is. I mean, you can still smoke tobacco, I think. Soon that's that will be done. Soon you will not be allowed to smoke tobacco. Or if you smoke tobacco, it will be only designated in the smoking area. I mean, even Atlantic City is buckling to this no smoking thing. But that's what school reminds me of. You know, Mayor Bloomberg running around telling everybody how to live their lives. I mean, you know, what's the one reason why most people want to leave home? What's the reason? The reason is because they just can't take their parents monitoring everything they do. And they want to get out. They want to be on their own. They want to make their own decisions. They want to be independent. They want to be self-sufficient. Nowadays, kids don't leave home. 18 years old, I left. Well, maybe not. Maybe I was a little older. But whenever I left for college, I left with the intention of never coming back home again. That after that, I'd come home through to college and law school, that I'd keep my room, and then thereafter, once law school was over, that's it. I wasn't going back home. College graduates, law school, you know, postgraduates, after they're done with their school, they've been back and moved back home. Now, granted, you know, I'm getting the bleep kicked out of me, but life is teaching me a lot of lessons. I'm making a lot of choices on my own, and I'm learning a lot. But I wouldn't be learning if I was under the wing of my parents, because, you know, it's just amazing. And it all starts back in high school, these demerits. I remember being a freshman, and I passed a silly note. Oh, boy. And Sister Jean Frances got this note, and it was just absolutely, you know, it was a scandal. You know, it marked me. You know, people were afraid to come near me because they thought I was destined for trouble. And it's just very funny how life, you know, I was an outcast from ninth grade on. And since then, not much has changed. I think that my independent, you know, unfortunately, independent the word's been taken out of context, because, you know, this block of independent voters that everybody's running toward, are really undecided. I mean, they're not independents, they're undecided. And if they don't have a party, I guess independent, if they're registered as an independent, I guess that means they're registered independently of a party. So that stands, but they're really undecided. And, you know, I just don't understand. You know, everything is overreaching. You know, I wanted to go online and look. Who was the first state, and when did they pass the seatbelt law? Because that was really the first step where the government said, okay, now we're going to get into your private life, into your personal possessions, and tell you how to control those possessions. I mean, obviously, they cannot. Hold on. Obviously, they cannot. They cannot. They can't force you to wear the seatbelt. Yeah, see, of course, here it is, New York State, and I remember the day that my dad, I was in the car with my mom, and my mom and I were going somewhere. We were in a white Lincoln Town car, and my mom and I were getting ready to go somewhere. Maybe it was in the morning. My dad was never usually home in the evening, unless we had baseball. Then he was there. But I remember him coming into the car because my dad had this cool Lincoln Town car, 1986 Lincoln Town car. I was 10 years old. Same year, my brother took me to the last World Series, the Mets one. And maybe the last World Series ever in Shea Stadium, but that's a whole different story from the day. So anyway, he comes out and says, you know, you have to buckle your seatbelt because the governor just passed the law. And lo and behold, I've just found out, now I can't find it. Yes, seatbelt. Oh, I'm sorry, it's 1984. I was close, 1986. New York was the first state to pass a law which required vehicle occupants to wear seatbelts with effect from December 1st, 1984. And I remember that. I remember that because he came out of the car. And, you know, and ever since that day, to my dad's testament, I wear a seatbelt. I do not get into a – I do not drive the car without a seatbelt. But wouldn't it really be my business if I chose not to wear a seatbelt? And so in 1984, when New York took that first step into the seatbelt law going into the car was the first step. It really was the first step. And it's a sad, sad thing because once you open that door, you know how it is. You know, you give a little bit of a pinhole and it eventually busts into a, you know, a huge – pinhole, you know, it opens wide open, right up. So, you know, that, you know, it's just, it's one of those things, you know. So anyway, this is the Tom Farinella Radio Show right here at blogtalkradio.com. And we are on live right now. If you want to give us a call, 347-326-9037, 347-326-9037. We would love to hear from you, and we would definitely, there'd be no question that you're going to go right on, and you're going to talk to us, and we want to hear what you have to say. So the government, you know, comes into your car in 1984 in New York, and then everything else sort of happens thereafter. Of course, now, the mayor here in New York, you know, it's funny, the most liberal jurisdiction, you know, other than California and a couple of other northeast states, Vermont and Maine, but New York is one of the top, you know, far-left states. And for a far-left state, I've never seen a bunch of fascists who want to tell everybody that they can't smoke, they can't drill for oil. You know, they want to tell everybody else how to live. They want to tell everybody else how to live and how to control their lives because you are not good enough to do it. You're listening to the Tom Farinella Radio Show right here at Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Anywhere in the world today, take everything you've got, taking a break.
all your work showing up a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? All the nights when you got no light, the check is in the mail, and your little angel hung the cat up by its tail, and your third fiance didn't show. Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see, our troubles are all the same. You wanna be where everybody knows your name. Coffee's dead, the morning's looking bright, and your shrink ran off to Europe and didn't even write. And your husband wants to be a girl. Be glad there's one place in the world where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna go where people know. People are all the same. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Tom Farinella.
Yes. I don't understand why that's a double, whatever. Anyway, so we're talking about authority and us being youthful in our youth, and me, for example, having the first urge to resist. And, you know, the one great thing about my education is that I actually did learn something. I was forced to learn something, especially at Catholic University, because Catholic University is just it's a difficult school. It's a second-tier school. It's not an Ivy League, but they are very – their arts and science degrees are rooted in philosophy and religion, and not Catholicism, but religion in general. And I took – you know, I majored in American politics, so, you know, even more so. So I did not point on this. I just went over to my bookshelf and pulled up the book. But Rousseau's the fundamental question of Rousseau's social contract. But above all. This is talking about the social contract by Jean-Jacques Rousseau. But above all, it is about the fundamental question agitating all political thinkers, that of authority. The question for the individual has always been, why and whom should I obey? It is not simply a political question, or rather the question, the political question is a familial question writ large. It is a question a child may never consciously ask, but is lodged somewhere in his mind. It is a question that the slave or the subject wholly habituated to unconditional obedience may never seriously canvass, but it will occur to him in rebellious moments. Rousseau raises the question again, and he answers it in a wholly original way. The liberals, by the way, this is... introduced by, this is Peter Gray, who is a whoever Peter Gray is, he's the one who wrote the introduction. So he's giving us a brief synopsis of what The Social Contract by Jean-Jacques Rousseau is all about, or on The Social Contract. The liberals of Rousseau's time, and those both before and after him, had sought to delimit the respective boundaries of freedom and constraint, giving freedom as much scope as seemed reasonable. And Rousseau, like them, attempts to establish the respective rights of the sovereign and the citizen. But he goes further. He sees this tension not as a relation to be mapped, but as a paradox to be resolved. In Rousseau's version of the social contract, man surrenders all of his rights without becoming a slave. This is how he formulates the problem. To find a form of association which defends and protects with the whole common power the person and the property of each associate, and in which each, uniting himself to all, yet obeys himself alone and remains as free as before. As one reflects on Rousseau's earlier writings, notably the Discourses, one recognizes that the one principle he professed had always guided him is at work once again on a larger stage. Man is good. He can afford to exchange his natural for his civic freedom to translate his original goodness into social action. Rousseau, we must remember, was not a primitivist. He did not condemn all organized society, and he believed that there was one society, one yet to be constructed, that was infinitely preferable to pre-political conditions. Man can surrender his natural freedom because while he becomes a subject, he remains a master. In the good community, he essentially obeys himself. This position, which Rousseau works out in considerable detail in The Social Contract, is certainly not without its difficulties, but one difficulty, imported by critics into Rousseau's text, is not there. And we may therefore dismiss it quickly for state. In Rousseau's system, is never the master, always the servant. For the body to which the individual yields his natural rights is not the government, but society, a community of beings like himself. Just as Rousseau insisted that force does not create rights, so he insists that government, though it holds the monopoly of force, is always an agent of the citizens it protects. You know, and that is the most telling. I have to remember that, because just as Rousseau insisted that force does not create rights, so insisted the government, and that's very important. But the body to which the individual yields his natural rights is not the government, but society, a community of beings like himself. And you know what? If you're going to affect any sort of change in this world, in this day and age, it's going to be by convincing people to change their heart. And that's it. Their political views aside, you know, you want to solve homelessness, you can solve homelessness and hunger and all these things if you get the right amount of people who all put their mind to solving that one problem. Any problem is solvable. But is it in the people's hearts? And that's the question. Where are we going with a society where it's not, where the government has to feel like they have to force everything down our throat? Because if we don't, nobody else is going to help. And that's because the populace has become apathetic. Just like I was talking about the Home Depot stores the other day. The Home Depot stores are thriving because people go to them. If nobody went to the Home Depot stores and gave the business to their local hardware stores, well, we might have a difference. If people decide to, if a majority of the voters decide to go out and vote for Bill Clinton or for George W. Bush, you might have a different election. But that's not the case. We're a big nation, and I think far too much of this country is apathetic, dangerously apathetic. Because what happens is when you don't know what's going on, that's when the government's at its worst, when you're not paying attention. And the government wants an apathetic populace, because the less enthused and interested that the people have, the populace has, the more the government can take without them knowing. Think about it. Think about when you have these reports every year, the pork barrel report, where they talk about the ridiculous spending projects for each congressman that's been allocated to them over the course of the congressional year. How much money? I mean, Robert Byrd has a whole state of West Virginia's name. They should just rename the state Robert Byrd. Get rid of West Virginia and call it Robert Byrd, the state of Robert Byrd. I mean, there's not a road, there's not a bank. I mean, banks, roads, everything is named after Robert C. Byrd, the dean of the Senate. They say he could stop the Senate because he knows the rules so well. But the point is that we are living in a time where the government comes in because the people allow it. It'll be very interesting to see what happens with this gay marriage thing. And I'll tell you why. Because the court made a ruling, and now there's going to be an initiative. And the judge is wrong, okay? However you side with, or however you feel, you want this to be done properly. I mean, if gay couples really want the right to marry, I think they would want it to be a legal, valid marriage. And what happens is when rogue judges decide to create law on their own and make up law as they go, okay, and usurping the legislative branch, then you have a problem, okay? There's a reason why there's three branches of government, state and federal. You have the courts, you have the legislature, and you have the executive. It's the basic structure of each state and the basic structure of our federal system. So when you have a rogue judge deciding he's going to make a law, well, you have a problem. Because the judge should kick it back to the legislature, the legislative branch to reform. There we go, I'm like Obama now. Okay? And what should happen is that the legislative branch and the people, the lobbyists who want that reform, whatever that reform is, gay marriage, then the gay community has to actively pursue passing a legal amendment in the state legislature, and then having it passed and signed into law by the governor, and then the court, I guess, could review it and strike it down, but at that point, I don't think. I mean, it's not an unconstitutional law. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that you can or can't. You know, that man and man, woman and woman can't marry. So, you know, I don't know if you'd be creating a new right, but that would be the proper way to do it. Because what's going to happen here is that what's happening now is that one judge is making the decision for the whole state of California. And now the 37 million people who live in California have an initiative on the ballot in November, and they're going to vote against it. Not because they necessarily don't agree with it, but because they're going to be outraged that one judge is going to make this decision, and that, you know, this decision is going to be the new law. And you risk motivating and waking up the populace, the apathetic, who are now paying attention because they're saying, wait. There's a judge out there who's just, you know, making this all up on his own? Is this the way things should be? Well, maybe I should pay attention to this. Now, all of a sudden, you have people who wouldn't normally participate in the process participating. And that's the thing. Once you get issues, or once something is presented in such a way where the person or persons feel as if, maybe they're trying to get one over on me. Wait a second. Hold on now. What's this all about? They can't get one over on me. I'm intelligent and I'm smart. Well, you never know. And all of a sudden now you have people opening their eyes to situations they never, ever, ever imagined. And paying attention when you never thought they would. And that's what the government relies on. These politicians don't care about them. I hate to say it. I don't think they hate people. Obviously they don't, or their country, but it's all about them. They're not serving their country because they think they feel called. It's about power. It's about being able to be in control. Maybe they're trying to make up for something they lacked as a kid. Maybe they were picked on. I don't know. But it surely is the system in and of itself. Relies on people not coming to the plate, not stepping up, and not realizing what's going on. And that's just the reality. And they count on that. Because as soon as people wake up, you get a whole different outcome. So, that's where we're at. We're gonna get a commercial. I'm gonna respond here to Dropping Beats with DJ.
Love Talk Radio.
Oh, there we go.
Welcome to Dropping Beats Radio.
That's it? Are they playing? Okay, that's good stuff. Okay. That's that. Well, we'll respond to him and tell him that we can play his commercial, but we won't play his show on our show, right?
Love Talk Radio.
No, I really don't want that again. Please don't do that again. So that's that's what's going on. Is this stuff that you don't already know? I'm responding to messages now. Isn't this polite, right?
Love Talk Radio. This broadcast will begin just after this brief message.
My friend laughed at me when I said I could order in French.
This guy's got, he's actually got, all right. Anyway, so, so that's where we're at. That's where we're at. So we had a very nice three hours.
Love Talk Radio.
Nice 3 hours. And, you know, there's a lot to, you know, I truly am not, I hate to say it, but I'm not necessarily optimistic about the future of the state of the country because, you know, I don't know where we're going to end up. And the way things are panning out now, it's going to be a disaster. Without question. Oh, you can blog on here, too. You know what? I really need to get familiarized with this. The chat we're doing, I have a guy in the chat, the Ozone. What's the Ozone? Mister, if you're listening, Mr. Ozone, I said hello, and you're not there. So, all right. Yes. So we're just wrapping up the last 4 minutes of this hour. And I wonder if you could do like one big, can you do one bulk message? I wonder if you can. Okay. All right. Yeah, we have to get back. I have this chat up. Now, Ozone, can you hear me? No, I don't understand. What's the deal with him? A political intervention. What does that mean? Is he just like in my I don't know. We'll give you his profile. I think I have a phone call. On my cell phone, of course, not. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back at the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be with a whole nother edition of the Tom Farinella radio show on live now. 1 hour, 1 minute remaining. So please stay with us. This is the Tom Farinella show, the most intriguing broadcast in America. 347-326-9037. 347-326-9037 is the call number if you want to give us a call. Please do. We would love to hear from you. And I have a little special treat here. This is a song from an off-Broadway production by the writer and producer of a little-known musical called Rent. Jonathan Larson. It's from Tick, Tick, Boom. Which I saw like 8 times on Broadway, or off Broadway. It was the James Street Theater. Joey McIntyre, who was living in my building in Tribeca at the time, was starring in it, and it was very funny going to the show and then seeing the guy in your elevator. It's like, oh. So we just have a little thing called, yeah, just go stop the clock. He was from Boston, so just stop the clock. Clock, clack. Stop the clock. Tom Farinella. 3090. Take
treading water, but for it that getting stronger. Don't panic, don't conjecture, can't find it like taxes. At least it happens only once in your life. Happy, happy birthday. Just wanna lay down and cry. Not just another birthday. It's 39. Why can't you stay 29? Hell, you still feel like you're 22. 10:30, 1990, bang your head. What can you do? What can you do? What can you do?
Here's a runway, make another path. Try one more hook before you're out of gas.
Getting better, isn't it getting better? Feels like a clean up batter on a beat that ain't enough.
Don't freak out, don't strike out, can't fight it like City Hall.
At least you're not alone, your friends are there too. Laughing, happy birthday. Run away. Who cares about a birthday? But 39 days, can you be optimistic? No longer
Long Talk Radio.
This is boom your past day. What can you do? What can you do?
Tom Farinella, and now...
Okay.
And now, broadcasting from the city that never sleeps, only when he needs something in it, it's Tom Farinella's show, the most intriguing broadcast in America. Here's Tom.
Message from.
Whoa, we don't want that. Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm not really fond of this, but anyhow, that was 3090 from Tick, Tick, Boom, an amazing Broadway show. Actually, it was starring Raul Esparza. I didn't see him in it, but I saw Joey McIntyre at the time. I was living in downtown Tribeca. It was a great building. Great building. Don't know why I left. Still can't figure out why. Oh, I know why I left. I was overlooking Ground Zero and the lights. Oh, the lights in the window were just they had just grown on me to a point where I said enough. Like Susan Powder, remember Susan Powder, that crazy broad with the white hair and. Stop the insanity. She talked like this, really clear and tight. And she really pronounced her words really, you know, she was really like very over the top, and she was talking like this, and I exercise every day of my life because I love to go out there and stop the insanity. Does anybody know what the hell I'm talking about? If you do, you need to call us right now. The Tom Farinella radio program. The number is 347-326-9037. 347-326-9037. And we'll be more than happy to put you on the air and hear what you have to say. But we have a whole bunch of things coming up. We're going to take one more quick break. I have this. This is what I prepared for you. This is a good little thing. This is like my break. It has to happen. Let's see if we got it right.
Hi, welcome to Highball. This is Chris Matthews. Tonight we have a very special show for you because we got the only female candidate who got jumped by all the boys in the last presidential debate, Hillary Clinton. Presidential candidate Clinton, welcome to Highball. It was true that the men became bad boys when they attacked you, the only woman at the debates.
If all that were proven true, I think that would be a very serious offense.
Wow, holy cow. Man, what an answer. So, let us know, are you all on the same team or what? That's how Dean got you guys going crazy, trying to go after you and drop an ambush and bomb out your campaign.
You know, I just want our country to start having a conversation where people start talking to each other again,
yeah.
And where we are listening to each other and where we try to solve the problems we have, because we have a lot of big problems.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do it. I mean, there's no reason we can't. I mean, we're able to do anything we put our minds to it, but it requires everybody sort of working together and coming together about it.
I know. Can't we just all get along? I agree with you, Senator Clinton. My God. Holy Katrina. What are they thinking? Why is this happening to you?
This vast right-wing conspiracy that has been...
Oh, no. Not that again. I thought we got rid of that a long time ago. So... tell us all those that you think is the best way to handle this up-and-coming debate.
I think it's been very unfortunate that, you know, after 9/11, the entire country was united and the entire world was really on our side, with,
yeah.
You know, few exceptions of the bad guys who everybody was against. And we've lost a lot of that, and we need to regain it, because we'll do better if we have people rooting for us. And if we're all trying to figure out how to, you know, deal with health care and energy and all the rest of the issues at home. So I think we've missed some opportunities the last couple of years, but that's retrievable. We just need to put our mind to it.
Man, all the people who ran for president stand up to sound that good. You're so great. You're the smartest woman in the world. So one last question, because I know you're short on time, and we so appreciate you coming here and having Chris Masters. Sorry, got a frog in my throat. I have the smallest one in the world right here with Chris Matthews and Apple. Anyway, Madam First Lady, great Senator from New York. One last question. Here we go. What do you think about Oprah? Is this such a tragedy? Oh, man. Oh, this is Chris Matthews. Thank you so much, Senator Clinton, for coming on. You're the greatest woman in the world. Anyway, next, coming up.
Okay.
And now, here's Tom Farinella.
Oh, you're a smooth talker. You are. You are.
And we're back. Hello, everybody. This is Tom Farinella. Welcome to the fourth hour. That's right, the fourth hour of the Tom Farinella Show here at blogtalkradio.com. This is just too fun. I can't tell you how much fun I'm having. And I haven't had a call yet, so I was joking around here saying I'm going to stay on the air until I get one caller. This way I can, you know, I'm persistent like that. The phone number to call Write it down very carefully. 347-326-9037. That's 347-326-9037. And what you want to talk about? Well, we covered a whole bunch of things throughout the 4 hours, or 3 hours, because we're now into our fourth hour. There's a local sports show that goes on from 1:30 till 6:30. I always wonder how the heck they do it. And they have callers, so, and they have commercials, of which I have none. So if that's why I have to play music once in a while. And if I can get the fifth hour here, then I will be taking a few breaks. But if you just joined us, this is the Tom Farinella Show, the most intriguing broadcast in America. It's usually intriguing because, you know, I try to follow the strict guidelines of sticking with what's happening throughout the day. And I've gone away from that. I've just been chatting with you and just telling you a little bit, a lot about myself and about my experiences and how they brought me to the place I'm at, which is, you know, I hate to say that, well, I'm not a Republican because the Republicans today are an embarrassment without question in terms of, they aren't, but the Republicans today are concerned about one thing, and that's themselves. And I don't necessarily think it has to do with conviction anymore. They're afraid, you know, if they are relatively conservative, meaning that they like to, you know, they're for tax cuts and they're for individual liberties and they are for the Second Amendment and all the things that really keep this country real. They don't want to be politically incorrect because it seems as if as conservatism has become politically incorrect, the supposed leaders of the movement have not taken on the task of fighting the beast, slaying the beast, and moving on. They seem to have festered in the fear of being labeled a conservative. Ooh, conservatives are hateful, mean people. And you know, I think it's a misnomer because I really think that a true conservative is definitely more of a libertarian than a conservative. And I guess it's just a term that's attached, but I am just not really big on a big centralized government, and that's what we have. We have a big, bloated, centralized government that is eating up all the American tax dollars and wasting money beyond our expectations. We don't even know what, you know, the budget, you know, the Democrats want to, you know, the president presented a budget. They want to go, is it 30 billion more? I mean, the numbers are just astronomical in terms of what the Democrats are opposing, proposing compared to what the president has already proposed, which in and of itself is way too much. And, you know, that's one of Bush's failures. Bush's failure, and maybe it's not a failure, but maybe he just wasn't, he was never a conservative. But I don't know if you feel the way I do. I just want the guy out of office, not because I dislike him. And trust me, I intend on, you know, being speared because, you know, I don't hate him. But one of the things about the president is that it's just it's gotten to a point where he can't do anything anymore. Everything that happens, you know, he ends up being the one blamed for it. So, you know, it just didn't seem that way with Clinton. With Clinton, it seemed he always was able to obfuscate and to skirt around the inevitable claim to taking claim for his responsibility, and he mastered that. And maybe that's why he was considered a successful president. I don't know, but you know, this president has faced many challenges, and you know, he's done well on taxes, and you know, he's done the best he could do at this point, I believe, on the war in Iraq, and we're there. So the war in Iraq is just it's a moot issue, because the war itself, it's there, it's happening. You can't, you know, it's not going to be stopped. As we saw with Miss Nancy Pelosi becoming the Speaker of the House, the promises, you know, the promises that she made, her and Harry Reid and the rest of the new Democrats that were going to come in and change everything. What did they change? They haven't changed a single thing. And if the Republicans had half a brain, they would hammer out. Well, I guess they can't do it so much because McCain is a member of the body, which the Congress, which has the lowest approval rating in American history. So he's one of those members, but it was, you know, it was Obama's side, the Democrats, who promised all of this change, and that they were given the chance for change, and they didn't do it. The Democrats in the first 100 days could have stopped the funding for Iraq, and the war would have been over. And that's it. That's it. And that's it. The war would have been finished. The president would have been forced to withdraw because there was no funding from Congress. And that didn't happen, did it? So it goes to show you that even the Democrats, you know, will use their wacky base to get them into power, and then the Democrats, you know, basically abandoned their base. That was it. That was it. They abandoned their base, the far, far extreme part of the party. But I don't know. They just seem to be speaking from both sides of the mouth, and nobody's saying anything about it. And I really think that the Republicans, if they really want to have success, They must highlight this. They must really highlight this, because that's their weakness right now. Because they, you know, McCain has got to fight against the Bush, you know, avoiding the Bush. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on one second. I apologize. Avoiding being the Bush third term, and there's nothing that can be done about it. And he has to overcome that. If he doesn't overcome that, then he's going to have serious problems, and he's going to end up in a bad place with Obama walking into the White House. And that's the strategy they have to go at. And it's strange to me that nobody has pointed this out, or nobody has even really looked at the fact that this Congress made so many different promises that they just have not kept. And when are they going to be held responsible? They should be held responsible, shouldn't they? I mean, nobody's holding them accountable. No, the only thing they've done is suggest a much more inflated budget than what the president's already overinflated budget suggests. So it's a baffling it's a baffling it's a baffling paradigm, and I just can't understand. You know, I lived inside the Beltway for 7 years. I worked on Capitol Hill. I did three. I worked for three different congressmen during the course of my studies, and I know how that place works. And of course, I was there during the Clinton administration, which, you know, really showed me how that place can really work if you figure out how to work it properly. And the crux of it is that, you know, you're left with people who really care about things not knowing who to vote for. I mean, McCain is nothing more than, I don't even know what he is, but he's not, really, it's funny because I am a political junkie. I hate the term, but I would describe myself as a political junkie, and I would describe myself as one who just adores politics and the whole game, and I'm just so disenfranchised with things, the state as it is, that in the year 2000, in the year 2008, that we can't find a formidable candidate who actually is inspiring. I mean, I guess that's why so many people think Obama is the second coming, but that's why, if that's your opinion, well, you know, you need to really rethink that, because this is Obama without a teleprompter.
Everybody knows that it makes no sense that you send a kid to the emergency room for a treatable illness like asthma. They end up taking up a hospital bed. It costs, if you gave them treatment early and they got some treatment and a breathalyzer or an inhalator, not a breathalyzer. I haven't had much sleep in the last 48 hours, so.
Well, that's that one. This one's even better.
What they'll say is, well, it costs too much money. But you know what? It would cost about the same as what we would spend. Over the course of 10 years, it would cost what it would cost us. It would cost us about the same as it would cost for about, hold on 1 second, I can't hear myself, but I'm glad you're fired up, though.
There you go. So I'm still marveled at what's that guy yelling about in the background? And I'm really curious to know what that guy's yelling about. Hey, this is the Tom Farinella Show right here at Blog Talk. com 347-326-9037. We are embarking upon, you know, a marathon for the fact that I did a couple of shows, I guess, in March, and I did one on Saturday, and now, you know, I just got the urge to do one today, and here I am, and it's just it's addicting, isn't it? It's addicting. Now you can understand why, you know, talk show hosts become so vain and so arrogant, it seems sometimes, because it is a very fun thing. And the way I have my situation set, the microphone set up and stuff, I actually have like a radio arm thing, you know, stand and the mic and the whole thing. It's very fun. And I encourage you to give a call if you feel like, you know, just simply giving your opinions. Opinion or opinions, if you have more than one, and this is the Reset 347-326-9037. I don't think I'm going to be able to get another hour. I think they want to limit the amount of people. I think they want to give everybody a chance. And we've been going pretty strong since 5 o'clock. So you spent your evening with me at all, and you just don't want to call because you just don't like calling, let me know. That would be fun to hear from you. This is the Tom Farinella radio program right here at blogtalkradio.com, an amazing resource. It truly is revolutionary. I started in radio at 16, and I started with my first computer. It was a Commodore 64, and I think I was on CompuServe or Prodigy for the internet provider, for the internet provider, then to AOL, and then the rest is history. But it's amazing how technology has allowed us to just wherever we are set up and do what we have to do if you want to. And that's what this country is all about. It's about opportunity and freedom to do what you want. I mean, and even the government wants to come in and try regulating the internet and all that other stuff. And, you know, government regulation, when a government thinks they can make a buck, they're going to step in and they're going to put their 2 cents in and they're just going to try to take it over. That's just the nature of the beast. And the government is the beast. And it sounds extremely trivializing, but the government is very much, I guess they feel like they need to protect the people from themselves. And I just don't think that's consistent with what America stands for, what America was founded on, the principles of America, and what the original founders intended when they started this crazy experiment, and they were successful in revolting from the king and gaining their own independence, and it's remarkable. It's really remarkable. And you know, when you start using and certain filler words, it's instead of ah. Do you realize that? Maybe I'm a little tired, Obama. It's okay, but you know, you're talking for 4 straight hours or so. It has an effect. If you want to give us a chat, get into the chat room, say hello. We would certainly appreciate that. And if you want to give us a call, you could do so 347-326-9037. I would really love to hear from you. I just need one call. I've broken all the rules. I think I've made fun of myself and insulted myself today. I beg people for calls. You know, you break all the rules of radio. You're not supposed to let anybody know who's listening as to what's going on behind the microphone. And you're supposed to be able to keep that quiet because you're supposed to be a professional. And you're supposed to speak in a more radio-like voice. But I think that it's about fun at this point. I'm just experimenting with the whole art for real. You know, I put everything I have into this today because I never really tried it, and it's really fun. I can only imagine how much fun it would be if I had callers and guests and stuff. It probably, this has flown by pretty quick, but that would probably just be like, bam. I mean, I can see it's like 8:30. I'm like, oh, God, only 30 minutes left. That's it. That stinks. And it's a great medium. And I just really wish, let's see, what's this? Hold on.
Now, here's Tom Farinella.
Oh, you're a smooth talker. You are.
The
Yes, indeed I am. Hello, everybody. This is your smooth talker, Tom Farinella, and welcome to the Tom Farinella Show right here at the WTAF Radio Network. I'm so happy to be here on your broadcast. I welcome all of you new listeners, and it's such a great pleasure to have you aboard. And I know, as soon as this show gets on fire, that's the first program, it's very much so on fire, you will be addicted for life. This is the Tom Farinella Show, where we will bring to you the day's events, where common sense, my take, and common sense of the everyday events will collide. And I tell you, I'll give you the best, brightest, and most intriguing commentary you've ever heard. It won't just be on politics, it won't just be on sports, it won't just be on entertainment or music. It will be on all of them combined. Whatever's going on out there, pop culture, we will have it all here at the Tom Farinella Show. That's right. I am dedicated to bringing you the best program in the world. And it's my idea to make sure that you understand. And when you tune in, we may be covering a topic that you like or you may not like. But we will eventually cover all the topics around the day's events. And that's what's most important. Sometimes we'll take full shows to explore very deep issues and go to experts or doctors or whatever it is and do interviews with high-end people. But whatever it is, we'll bring you the best programming in all the world. Got that? And I promise you my dedication. And I know one thing. If you give this show a shot, you will be addicted for life. So for right now, this is just a brief intro. I just wanted to say hello to you. That's right. I am Tom Farinella once again. This is the most intriguing broadcast in all America, where we'll eventually, you will see, it's going to be for people who just get it. What do I mean by just get it? If you like things common sense, this is going to be a common sense-oriented show. With that being said, for those of you who just get it, I am Tom Farinella, the Tom Farinella Show, and we'll be back shortly with all new broadcasts. Thanks.
Well, that's interesting. With this.
Oh,
yes. No.
Are any of the following issues a concern to you or your family? If you're having difficulty paying your credit card bill, call me. Do you or anyone you know need a criminal lawyer? Call me. Are you thinking about a divorce? If so, call me. If you have a child support or custody issue, you can call me. I'm Thomas Farinella, and I'm a full-service law firm, plus a debt relief agency.
Ooh, is that me?
Going into bankruptcy. Whatever your legal problems, we can assist you and make sure you know your legal rights. Call me today at 917-806-7000.
Whoa.
Or see my website at www.
Giving out my personal information.
Call today, 917-806-7053, and seek resolution. We serve Metro New York and Long Island with offices.
Okay. I wonder if that's problematic. That's okay. All right, so that's I just need to take a breather. But we're going to take a quick music break. I'm just trying to find a song here that I like. I don't have anything in the bank. 4 hours here. We've used it all up. I see that we have a political vindication in the chat, but he's not responding back. I could perhaps ask for his suggestion for a song. But I don't know if he's listening. But he's in the chat. All right. So this is the Tom Farinella Show right here at blogtalkradio.com. No, I always hit that particular. You know, it's like. Isn't this great? This is great. Usually you can listen to these in your headphones, like a real studio. So it's, no. Let's try the next one. Hold on. It's track 12. No, that's Justin Timberlake or just whatever the heck his name is. No, that's that again. We do not need that. Isn't this great? We're trying to go to a break here in a professional manner, and I guess that's why this is so fun.
No, no, and no. No, not that one. I don't know. How about this? No. I don't like that one either. Oh, don't like that one either. Move it for the whole CD. I don't know what that is. 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 How about this? Tom Farnell Show, we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Step one, you say you need to talk. You walk, you say sit down, it's just dark. Smile politely, you back at you. You stare politely right on through. Don't show the window to your right. She goes left, you stay right.
Farinella.
Oh, you're a smooth talker. You are. You are.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. I am a smooth talker. Sometimes. Depends. Unlike Obama these days. Hello, everybody. Tom Farinella, the Tom Farinella Radio Program right here at blogtalkradio.com. We're just finishing up a four-hour marathon. You know, I have this this infatuation with music and talking over it. I don't know why, but I really, you know, that's my favorite part is the intros, you know? Maybe because the music, like, peps me up. I don't know. I feel a little bit more free because I can speak a little bit louder so the people in my rest of my office won't hear me. And here in New York right now, it's a blistering, like, 90-something degrees. The air conditioner finally kicked in here about 3 hours too late, 3 hours and 40 minutes too late. But nevertheless, for the last 20 minutes, maybe it'll enhance my mood. So we're talking about everything under the sun. Oh, and anything you want to talk about, you can give us a call at 347-326-9037. But I think that you, when you click on, you can get that number. I don't have to keep repeating it, do I? And we have covered Obama and Hillary and John McCain and America and the American apathy and when the government started really intruding upon our personal liberties. Back in 1984 when the state of New York passed its seatbelt law, that's when it all started. When they told you how to wear a seatbelt in your car, a property, private property that you own or rent or whatever it is, whatever arrangement you have, borrowed. And that was because the insurance companies lobbied the state because they were able to create a study that said that, you know, people who don't wear seatbelts get more injured than people who do, and if people wore seatbelts, they would save lives, and they would save, you know, millions of dollars a year, and now it's going to go into the billions of dollars, and blah, blah, blah. So that was the first step, and now it's in New York City anyway with Mr. Dictator himself, Mr. Bloomberg, the smoking ban and the food, the trans fat ban, which is scary to me that people actually have not revolted against the government telling them what they can and can't eat. And New Yorkers, you would think, are feisty, you know, people who fight back, and it just, they laid down. Most of the Upper East Siders, you know, the good New York liberals probably think that, yeah, the government should tell us what to do. And I just don't think I have a problem with it. But here we are, and it's 2008. We're getting ready for a new election. You know, so much has been made about the fact that, you know, there's racism in America and there's discrimination against women in America. And I think it's a testament to our country that the Bush administration had the first black national security advisor and the first black secretary of state. And now we have the first black man running for president and the first woman running for president who made a formidable run, who came in number two. And I'm just not so in tune on beating up America, because it looks like some of the problems of the past are being resolved to an extent. And with that being said, you know, there is advancement. There is progress. I think it's a positive step in that we are moving in the right direction, aren't we? And there are many out there who will have you believe that we're not, that we're still very bigoted and racist and anti-women, anti-gender, anti-sexuality, whatever it is these days. I don't think that's the case. I think that we have advanced more so than people give us, America, credit for. And I don't know what will happen with this election. I don't even want to think about it, because Obama is so politically inexperienced, And that, now we could say it because he's a nominee. We didn't want to give Hillary any leverage, but he is politically inexperienced. I mean, he's done nothing. And the only thing he can tell is he has been a community leader. But what else? What else has he done? He barely was a member of the United States Senate. Spent the last 4 years campaigning. So, and then you got McCain on the other end. Oh, God. You know, I think he's just picking things out of the air as they come, and it's gonna be one of the, you know, we're right back to where we were in 2000, 2004. You know, who's the lesser of two evils? Right? That's the troubling thing, is that we don't have formidable candidates who are inspiring. And now Obama is supposedly inspiring, but if you listen to the clips that I play over and over throughout the show, he clearly can't get it together without a teleprompter. It's scary.
What they'll say is, well, it costs too much money. But you know what? It would cost about the same as what we would spend over the course of 10 years. It would cost what it would cost us. It would cost us about the same as it would cost.
What is that? Can tell me what I want to know what this is. What is this guy saying?
All right. Okay. We're going to.
What?
I
can't get it back that far.
Over the course of 10 years, it would cost what it would cost us. All right. Okay. We're going to.
What?
It would cost us about the same as it would cost for about, hold on 1 second. I can't hear myself. But I'm glad you're fired up, Buff.
What is that? What's supposed to be? What is that guy yelling? That's what I want to know. What is that guy yelling in the background? I'm always, you know, maybe it's the ADD in me, but I'm always more interested in the background noise. Seems like much more of a fun story, doesn't it? So anyway, Obama's deep vetting team looks at a retired military. And that, I guess that would make sense, right? I mean, trying to counteract McCain, who's a military guy, right? A war hero, and you know, in Vietnam and the whole thing. So Barack Obama is considering, according to Yahoo News and the Associated Press, he's considering former top military leaders among his possible running mates, according to two senators who met Tuesday with the Democratic presidential candidate. Vice presidential vetting team, North Dakota Senator Kent Conrad told the AP that the team has asked him about potential candidates from three broad categories: current top elected officials, former top elected officials, and former top military leaders. Conrad would not disclose which names they discussed, and then the Obama campaign has been keeping the process a closely guarded secret. We talked about many names, Conrad said, including some that are out of the box. But I think would be very well received by the American people, including former top military leaders. So maybe they're going for an unknown military leader, so it's a little bit more difficult to attack him. I don't know. A running mate from the military ranks could help address concerns that Obama lacks foreign policy experience, having served just 3 years in the Senate. It could also provide a counterpoint to the military bona fides of the Republican ticket, which is led by Vietnam War heroes. See, I knew that before I even read the article, right? I haven't. This is the first time I'm reading it. So that's how you know my commentary is right on target. Obama has a three-person team managing the vetting process that includes one-time first daughter, Caroline Kennedy, former Deputy Attorney General Eric Holder, and Jim Johnson, the former CEO of mortgage lender Fannie Mae. Now, that guy there, G. keep an eye on Jim Johnson. Just keep an eye on Mr. Johnson. He's not necessarily the most honest of people. He's one of those evil CEOs who the Democrats have been targeting as receiving bonuses and, you know, taking advantage of the capitalism. I sense from this meeting they are still very much building the first list and at the same time evaluating possibilities. Conrad said it's very clear that they've reached no conclusions, not even tentative conclusions. Johnson and Holder also met with North Dakota's other Democratic Senator Byron Dorgan, who confided that former military officials were discussed along with a good many names of other potential candidates. They've gone about this in a very methodical and important way, Dorgan said. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer of Maryland also met with Johnson and Holder. He also would not disclose the names they discussed, but said he advised that any presidential candidate should tap for his number two, someone they feel comfortable with, someone who they believe is qualified in the event they could not serve out the balance of their term for whatever reason, and someone whom they believe will be helpful as a campaign to be elected. And I think Mr. Obama will do that. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin said the discussion involves a lot of names. He declined to provide any. It ranges all over. Durbin told reporters Tuesday, some of them would surprise you, some of them wouldn't. Asked if it makes sense for Obama to choose a fellow senator, Durbin joked, oh, senators think it does. Well, then you have senators across the board. Again, this is the body that the United States Congress has a low approval rating than the president, if you think that's possible, it is. Many former military leaders have been involved in the 08 Democratic presidential campaign. Some of Obama's most prominent campaign advisors have been retired General Tony McPeak, who's the Air Force Chief of Staff during Operation Desert Storm, retired Major General Scott Gration, who flew repeated combat missions and has worked with Obama on a range of military issues since before he began his presidential campaign, and Richard Danzig, who was Secretary of the Navy under President Clinton. He might also look at some other former rival Hillary Rodham Clinton top military advisor in a gesture of unity. Retired generals include Hugh Shelton, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Wesley Clark, who led the war in Kosovo and sought the Democratic presidential nomination 4 years ago, Virginia Senator Jim Webb, who served as Navy Secretary under President Reagan, has also been frequently mentioned as a possible running mate. One name being discussed is retired General James Jones, the former NATO Supreme Allied Commander, according to a person familiar with the process. Campaigning in St. Louis, Obama was asked about criticism from McCain of Johnson, who received loans from Countrywide Financial Corp with the help of the firm's chief executive, Angelo Mazzullo. Countrywide is part of a federal investigation in the midst of the subprime mortgage crisis. Holder also, see, there you go. I said that before it even came up, and I did not read this article, I promise you. Holder also came under Republican criticism for his role in helping fugitive financier Mark Rich get pardoned from Clinton. Obama said he was not hiring a vetter to vet the vetters. Jim Johnson has a very discreet task, as does Eric Holder, and that is simply to gather up information about potential vice presidential candidates. Obama said they are performing that job well. It's a volunteer, unpaid position. They're not people who I have assigned to the particular job in future administration. On Tuesday, Democrats raised questions about Arthur B. Kovahaus, the former Reagan administration official helping with the McCain vice presidential search. Several Republicans close to the campaign say that while McCain and campaign manager Rick Davis are running the show, Kovahaus is closely involved in the process. He played a role in the vice presidential search before and served as counsel to President Reagan from 87 to 89. Kovahaus is also a partner at O'Nunley and Myers, an international law firm, and in previous years has been listed in public records as a lobbyist on behalf of Fannie Mae and Lockheed Martin. So there we are. They're holding no punches, of course, the Democrats. That's just their M.O. And, you know, as we wing on in the last 4 minutes of the program, I really enjoyed my stay with you today. We did a heck of a job. We went from 5 to 9. That's a great time. And I probably can't do that every day because then I wouldn't be able to make a living. But I just need a break. So I will try to grab some time in between that and really come back to you because I've enjoyed my stay with you. It's been incredibly fun. And I just hope that you've enjoyed it. If you've listened, let me know. Give me a post or send an email or whatever. If you listen to this broadcast after it's already aired, please feel free. Give me a call the next time I'm on. Actually an email so I can let you know where I'll be on next. And we can really have a lot of fun. And I plan on cultivating the show like a farm, sort of just getting the seeds, you know, pulling out the grass today and getting ready to put the seeds down. And once we do that, I'll make sure it's a top-notch job. I'll be able to get my intros correctly configured, and I'll be able to do all of that without having to constantly, look through stuff and, it'll be more organized. But if in fact you've you have a comment about anything, let me know and email me, and I will certainly mention it next time I'm on the air. And again, thank you for listening. If you have. This is the Tom Farinello Radio Show right here, blogtalkradio.com, where I'm just telling you now, just keep an eye on America because she needs to be watched, because if not, if you, the American person, if you, the American people, close the blind eye and don't pay attention, those people in Washington are certainly going to take their advantage. They're not going to hold anything back. And that's just the way it's been. And so what happened was when the Republican Congress came in 1994, they changed House to an extent, and they took out Newt Gingrich. Or maybe he helped take himself out. But the fact of the matter is that you need to stay involved in this system as much as I do. And even though we may be disenchanted with the candidates of this election, it's important to stay in this election because this election is extremely, extremely, extremely crucial with where we go internationally. And without our being able to keep an eye on the system, we'll lose track. And this is the Tom Farinello Radio Show right here at blogtalkradio.com. I thank you for tuning in. Send me a message, and we look forward to seeing you next time. And I remind you, if you don't speak out, you will never be heard. Oh, wait, we're still on the air? I didn't know that. So did I have to redo the whole ending? I don't know. Are we still on the air? Yeah, we're still on the air, huh? That's brilliant, isn't it? 60 seconds. 37 seconds. We're almost done here, right? That's me. All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, I'm saying goodbye. The clock was a little screwed up. We were a minute ahead. 10 seconds. Like I said, if you don't speak out, ladies and gentlemen, you will never be heard. We'll see you next time right here at the Tom Farinello Show.
Talk Radio.
Tom Farrell!
And now, Tom Farinella.
Over the course of 10 years, it cost what it cost us. Okay. We're going. It would cost us about the same as it would cost. Hold on 1 second. I can't hear myself. Glad you're fired up, bro.
Yeah, so am I. Hello, everybody. This is Tom Farinella. Welcome to the most intriguing broadcast in America, Tom Farinella radio program. Heard right here at blogtalk.com. We're coming live to you today from New York. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Whether it's a call, the phone number is open, 347-326-9037. That is 347-326-9037. And let's get ready to rant. What are we going to rant about today? I have not figured that one out yet. I'm still trying to decipher what I want to put on the show. You know, for me, it's whenever I get the chance to do this, I jump right into it because if I feel like doing it, I feel like doing it. And if I have the time, I certainly take the time to try to do it because it's very important that I do something that gets me out of the abyss of my work. For those of you who may know me in my professional life, I am an attorney by trade. Is it by trade? No. But, a job that requires a lot, especially when you're running your own practice. There's a lot that comes along with being an attorney, representing people and trying to, of course, maintain a business. And, you know, when I look at what's going on, and the last 6 months or so, we don't let you know. Unfortunately, there are some things that we just cannot, we cannot do anything about. And the email and the beeps off the computer is going to be one of those things. Anyway, so what I find myself on, and I think I have to talk low. I can't be my boisterous, obnoxious self when I am on a weekend because I feel like the people across the hall can hear me. And when I was a kid, I used to be in my big brother's room. Yeah, I was on phone line, and I used to go in there with a friend of mine from high school. I think in ninth grade. Yeah, let's not get too crazy, but this is before I, really understood what life was about. But it was my most pure moment because I went in my brother's room with that phone. I had a karaoke machine from Fortunoff that I begged my mother to get because I had such an infatuation with the microphone at such an early age. And I think most people who end up in broadcasting find that that's the case because there's just an immediate draw that they can't explain at a very early age in their life. And with that being said, I used to be in my brother's room and call up my friend. I knew his name. Should I mention it? Okay. France. I say France. I mean, not France, France. We won't go any further than that. But I used to have to whisper because I didn't know anybody was hearing me because I didn't want people to think I was going crazy or was talking to myself. But I'm talking to you out there. And why don't you just call 347-326-9037. It's the Tom Farinella Radio program, Blog Talk Radio, where we're ranting and raving. Well, not so much raving. We don't do very much raving, do we? Right? No. No rating. Yes. We don't rate about anything. We are saying superb. Although it isn't, you know, the operation basis that the world is perfect, right? I mean, after all, Obama is perfect, isn't he? Isn't that how the world is? Isn't that how the world sees him? That's all he's shown us, right?
What they'll say is, well, it costs too much money. But you know what? It would cost about the same as what we would spend. Over the course of 10 years, it would cost what it would cost us. All right. Okay. We're going to. It would cost us about the same as it would cost for about, hold on 1 second. I can't hear myself. But I'm glad you're fired up, though.
Can we hear that just one more time? Studio engineer man. Hold on. Lo and behold, you know, I am the studio engineer now. Hold on. Let's hear it.
John. I'm having problems with my Adobe Acrobat. It's not printing the
page. Well, it costs too much money. But you know what?
Yeah.
It would cost about the same as what we would spend. Over the course of 10 years, it would cost what it would cost us. All right. Okay. We're going to.
But, I mean, you see here how the perfection and the myth is slowly being.
No. Here's Tom. What is this?
Oh, there he is, yes. Barack Obama.
It would cost us about the same as it would cost for about, hold on 1 second, I can't hear myself.
Can't hear himself. But, you know, the funny thing about it is, I thought about this, if he couldn't hear himself, if I take my headphones off right now, I can't hear myself. More music? I got to keep it on, yes. So that's what he sounds like. He can't hear himself. It's confusing to me because they don't have a plug for him. You know, like an earpiece.
What would you consider a good mic?
Well, I think that we've made considerable progress partly because
there you go. The Rock, Hussein Obama. He's really
the candidate for the Democratic Party. I can't believe I can't believe that he got it. This is a very well-produced show. We just play music today. Hold on. We have the almighty perfect Obama. He's not done yet, ladies and gentlemen. Our the myth continues to be broken even further.
Everybody knows, but it makes no sense. That you send a kid to the emergency room for a treatable illness like asthma, they end up taking up a hospital bed. It costs if you gave them treatment early, and they got some treatment and a breathalyzer, an inhalator, not a breathalyzer,
an inhaler.
I haven't had much sleep in the last 48 hours. So.
Wow. That's Barack Obama in Bristol, Virginia. I don't know what he's doing there, but obviously he's bizarre, right? a breathalyzer. You know, this is what I think is very interesting about these political candidates in this day and age. At this juncture, I think it's safe to say that once they become a viable candidate, I guess much like Barack and Hillary, because once it was more or less boiled down to those two, you know that it was going to be them. So, well, I guess even if they're campaigning on their own, they're going to drive. They'd be chauffeured around. I would really get a kick out of the one candidate who refused to be chauffeured in an SUV and went to his appearances just as he is. You know, like a regular person. I know it's somewhat impossible, but think about it. The politician, I guess based upon the lunacy of the American people, I guess it's a testament of people not being able to remain sane and normal because the president has to be protected at all times because, you know, at any point he could be harmed or, you know, they could be harmed. And what am I talking about? You know, I came on here and said, just because I wanted to, you know, I didn't want to drive home some profound point. I just wanted to come out here and do radio because whenever things in my life are a bit confusing